Thank you, Brother Joe. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 18. Jeremiah chapter number 18 this morning. So good to see each and every one of you out today for our service. We trust it'll be a blessing to you. I want you to look at verse number 1 through verse number 6 of this great chapter, Jeremiah chapter number 1 and or chapter number 18, beginning in verse number 1. Your Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And what instance I shall speak concerning a nation." Now, I want you to notice in verse 7, he talks about a nation. It is not necessarily referring to Israel. It's referring to any nation. And I believe even referring to America. And it says, at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation, against whom I have pronounced, turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way. Let me repeat that. Return ye now, everyone, from his evil way. And make your ways and your doings good. But they said, There is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices. And we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Look at verse 15. Because my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way and cast in a way cast up. Look at verse number 17. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we look at this passage, help us, I pray, to consider what is said, not only to Israel, but Lord, how it applies to each and every one of us individually and how it applies to our nation. We ask and pray, Lord, that you would have mercy. And Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us, as the Scripture says, to return with our whole heart unto thee. We ask and pray, Lord, that you guide and direct. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. In the passage of Scripture that we just read, the golden years of King Solomon are over. He spent 40 years. David actually reigned for 40 years as king, and then his son Solomon reigned for 40 years. During the reign of Solomon, it was commonly referred to as the golden years of Israel. It was during these years that Solomon's temple was built, and there was prosperity all through the land. And Solomon, as God's appointed king, ruled with God's wisdom upon his life. And the Bible refers to him as a good man and someone that loved God and someone who walked in his ways of his father David. And we find that at the end of those golden years that Solomon allowed his wives to detour him and detract him from God. And the end result was, because at the very end of his years he didn't walk with God, his children did not walk with God at all. And the end result was there was a civil war that took place, and all of a sudden Israel was divided in half. The 10 northern tribes followed Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and the southern tribes, we found, actually followed Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And there was a civil war that took place. Because the northern tribes followed Jeroboam, they began to say, you know what, we can't go down to Jerusalem anymore and worship, so we're going to go ahead and set up our own place of worship. So they set up golden calves, and they began to worship golden calves, and God judged Israel, the northern tribes, and said, you know what, you need to go ahead and repent. He sent prophets to them and told them, you need to repent, you need to get right with God. They refused to. And because they refused to get right with God, God sent the Assyrians down and hauled them away. And now we find what is left is Judah, the southern part of Israel. And they are also falling into idolatry. They're falling away from God. And so God raises up prophets against them. And one of them was Jeremiah, a 7th century prophet. And he said, look, you need to go ahead and you need to preach to them and tell them that they need to return unto me, and I will go ahead and I will repent of the evil that I have said I'm going to do to them. Well, the end result was they didn't repent. And God sent Nebuchadnezzar's army in and destroyed Jerusalem and Judea and hauled them away, and they were in captivity for 70 years. Could you imagine if that happened to America? Could you imagine if all of a sudden a foreign power came in and took over Ohio and took over split our country in half? Somebody ruled this side of the Mississippi and somebody else ruled the other side of Mississippi. So that would never happen. Really? I mean, we are not exempt from any of those things. And we find that Israel was divided in half. The one side was carried away, never really to return. Then Judah and the southern tribes were hauled away to Babylon. They were there for 70 years in captivity. And as they're getting ready to be hauled away, God sent Jeremiah the prophet to go ahead and preach to them, to give them another opportunity. Here in chapter number 18, he is pleading with them again. He, by the mouth of the Lord, begs them. He says, I want you to go down to the potter's house, and I want you to let the potter do a new work in your life and mold you and make you and change you all over again. That's what Israel needed. My, how America needs that. But America is only as strong as the people that are here. And you know what America needs? It needs for Christians to let God mold them and remake them all over again. Remember that time when you got saved and you were so excited about what God had done in your life? And yet because of life's experiences, many Christians grow cold and indifferent towards the things of God and walk away from God. And you know what needs to happen? America needs to go down to the potter's house and let God go ahead and remake them all over again. And and Christians today need to go down to the potter's house and let God mold them and make them all over again and make them a new vessel that will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, if you are lost without Jesus Christ, listen to me, the sin that has marred your life, God wants to go ahead and mold you and make you into an image that will bring glory and honor to God. Today, all of our laboring is vain unless God does a work in our lives. All of our plans and all of our desires and all of our labors and all of our methods are just vanity unless God does an eternal work in the lives of each and every one of us. Listen, my friends, if we leave today the same way we came in, and we do not allow God to have a part of our heart, then this service this morning is an absolute vanity. We don't need another 7-step plan. And we don't need another 12-step program. And we don't need more counseling. And we don't need more anti-anxiety medication. What we need really in our lives is for God to get a hold of our hearts and to change our hearts and to mold us and to make us and to take those things that are not right in our lives and take them out. Today, we don't need to just look at the potter's house. We need to arise and go to the potter's house. We need to let God do a change in our hearts. This is what America desperately so needs. And I believe that this is what every Christian home needs, is to let God do a work in our lives. This is what the preacher needs. By the way, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. This is what every Christian home needs, and every dad needs it, and every young person needs it today. They need to let God do an eternal work in their life. I want you to notice what it says in Jeremiah. Look at chapter 18. Let's look at verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 18, verse number 1. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house." I want you to consider, as we look at this passage of Scripture, the very first thing I want you to consider is the place. Is the place. Verse number 2. He says, Jeremiah, the place where you're living is in trouble. It needs help. I want you to rise and go down to the potter's house. I think we ought to consider that place. What type of place was it? It was a place of divine appointment. It was a place of divine appointment. There are no oops with God. I believe that God has you here today for a reason. There are no mistakes. He does all things, the Bible says, after the counsel of His own will. It's a place of divine appointment. You are here today because of divine appointment. You say, well, what appointment is that? God wants to do something in your life. And God has allowed you to be here today because God wants to do something. Maybe there's an area of your heart that is unyielded to Him. And God, as He is working in your life and molding your vessel, He says, you know what? This part of your life is unprofitable. And by the way, you know what part that is. And you don't need to argue with God about it. You know what is not right in your life. And the preacher doesn't have to start naming off sins because you know what God has been dealing with you about. And so you need to let God put you in His hands and mold you. And all of a sudden when He finds that hunk of dirt that's going to mar the vessel, maybe that hard stone that's in there, that will only destroy the vessel as it is fired under the heat in the furnace. He reaches in and He pulls that out. He throws it away. And begins to work that pot all over again. It is a place of divine appointment. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. And today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day that God has appointed for you to surrender to God and say, Lord, I'm tired of running. I'm going to go ahead and get saved today. It was a place of divine appointment. He said, arise and go down to the potter's house. It was also a place of divine humility. It was a place of divine humility. He says, arise and go. Which direction, everybody? Down. Arise and go down. You know, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what humility is. Humility is us viewing ourselves and seeing ourselves as we truly are before God. And not thinking of ourselves above what we should. It was a place of humility. He says, arise and go down to the potter's house. The potter's house was always a dirty place. Back during Bible days, there'd be clay vessels setting around and inside of a potter's shop. And I don't know if you've ever done any pottery and worked to work on a wheel. I used to do it all the time when I was in art class in high school, and I used to love doing that stuff. And I've been into some places that made ceramics, and it's not really usually a very clean place. And as you are working a work on the wheel, and as you've got your hands on that clay, the potter's hands are all covered with dirt and clay and wetness. And as the wheel is spinning, stuff is flying off, and the walls are usually speckled with all kinds of clay and all kinds of earthen material. A pottery house is usually not a very clean place. It's not some place you'd want to have heart surgery. Amen? It's not some place where you'd want to go ahead and have a nice 7-course meal served. It was usually a dirty place. And he said, arise and go down to the potter's house. It was a place of humility. And I really believe before God could do a work on our lives and change us and mold us, what God has to do is humble us. He has to humble us. The Apostle Paul was a proud man before he got saved. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was proud about his religion. He was proud about his ancestry. He was proud about the things that he was doing for the cause of God. And yet on the road to Damascus, God struck him down and blinded him and knocked him off of his horse and said, you know what? It's time to get things right, Saul of Tarsus. And the Apostle Paul, that was who it was later, said this in Romans 7:18, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. He told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul said that he was the chiefest of sinners. I've already reserved second place for myself, and you can have the line behind me somewhere, all right? You see, we are all just sinners saved by the grace of God, and that's it. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. There was nothing of your own person or your own being that is worthy of salvation. Other than the fact that God chose to love us. Before God could do a work in the prodigal son's life. We all know the story in Luke chapter 15 and how the prodigal son, he says, Dad, he says, I want you to give everything that belongs to me. And so he went out and he wasted his life with riotous living on his dad's inheritance while his dad was still alive. And he spent all. He was in a foreign country, living a wicked life. Finally, his money ran out. He began to be a hog farmer. And we know the story, how all of a sudden he came to the place where he had nothing to eat, no place to go, and the Bible says, he did eat with the swine. And he filled his belly with what the swine did eat. And then it says in Luke 15, and when he came to himself. Amen. You know, that's before God could do a real work in the life of the prodigal son, God had to humble him. Yes, And before God can do a work in our lives, He has to humble us and break us. And the Bible says that when He came to Himself, He said, I will arise. In Luke 15, verse number 18, He says, and I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before Thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called Thy Son. Make me as one of Thy hired servants. You know what that verse is all about, those two verses? Humility. God humbled him. James said it this way, be afflicted and mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned into mourning and joy into heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Before God will do a work in our lives, a real work, humility must be present. You know, there is no pride in a total makeover. I was flipping through the channels the other day, and I come across this thing called Ambush Makeover. And all of a sudden they find somebody walking down the street that really needs some help. And they said, hey, we're a part of Ambush Makeover and we want to go ahead and make you over. And so they fix their hair and they put new clothes on them and they just doll them all up. And afterwards we think, wow, that doesn't even look like the same person. You know, when you really stop and think about it, you look back at the old man before God did a work. There should be no pride in that. And when God does a great work in our lives, we need to understand there is no pride in a total makeover. I don't know about you, but I need a total makeover. Because in me, that is in my flesh, like the Apostle Paul said, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I need to make sure that God does a work in my life. And He needs to do that work on a daily basis. Before there is a new creation, there must be humility. It was a place of divine appointment. It was a place of humility. It was a place of divine possession. He told Jeremiah, He says, I want you to arise and go down to the potter's house. This place belonged to the potter. And the place where the change was going to take place belonged to the potter. Now, I don't know if you can understand that. I hope you understand this. That if any real change takes place in your life, it's not because of you. It's because of the divine place that God has brought you to. That place belongs to God. Amen? It was a place of divine possession. It belonged to the Master Potter. It was also a place of divine illumination. It says in verse number 2, it says, arise and go down to the potter's house and there. In other words, at that place, at the potter's house, it says, there will I cause thee to hear my words. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word, the entrance of thy law giveth light. You want divine illumination? We need to make sure we go down to the potter's house. And there, the place where the real change takes place. See, God has chosen a place to reveal His Word. God has not chosen the ball game. Boy, I felt so bad for those guys out playing football on Friday night. What a horrible, miserable night. And I was out and I was actually walking my dog that night and the rain was coming down sideways and sleet was hitting me and some big snowflakes were hitting me and I'm thinking, hurry up, dog, I want to go back inside. And I felt bad for, I thought of Anthony, I thought, man, I know he's out there standing there on the side of the football field and I thought, wow, it has to be bad. And I told my wife, I said, certainly they canceled the games. They did not. I was looking at the news and watching as they scrolled through on all the scores and they were all out there. And it showed the films of these guys out there wallowing around in the wet and the mud. And I thought, wow, I'm glad I'm not out there. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, it's not at the ball game where we get divine illumination. And it's not at our favorite drinking hole where we get our divine illumination. And it's not at our favorite hunting spot or our fishing hole where we get divine illumination. God has given us a place today where we get a divine illumination, and that is called the house of God. It is the house of God that God has established so that the Word of God can go forth and we can hear exactly what God wants for our lives. It's the church. As Brother Don talked about in Sunday school. Now, it might not seem important for you to be in church, but if you're a member of Grace Baptist Church, I need you here. Because as Brother Don talked about in Sunday school, we all are a part of that body. And I need all the help I can get. Amen? I thought I'd get a few more amens than that. I need all the help I can get. Amen? Amen. All right. And you know what? If you're not here, what happens? God's not going to use you to be a help to me. And if I'm not here, then I'm not going to be able to be a help to you. And if one person's missing, could you imagine getting around on just one leg? Could you imagine living life with only one arm? Or could you imagine getting through life with no eyes or no hearing? And the illustration the Apostle Paul gave in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 about the necessity of the body and comparing that to the physical body, to the spiritual body, or the house of God. You see, we're all important. We're all needed. And the church is the place of divine illumination. In Ephesians 3:21, He promised that there would be glory in the church. World without age. And in Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 1, He is the one, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one walking through the midst of the candlesticks. So at the church is where we have divine fellowship. We find that in the church, it is the place where God has given the Great Commission, Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 19 and 20. The church, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, it is the pillar and the ground of truth. You're not going to get that at the hockey game. Amen? We need to understand this. The place. A place of divine appointment. A place of humility. A place of divine possession. A place of divine illumination. It is a place of a new creation. Arise and get out of the potter's house. And there He wrought a work on the wheel. And God made something all new again. And that's what God wants to do to Israel. And that's what God wants to do to America. And that's what God wants to do to Pastor Rick. And that's what God wants to do to you. And that's what God wants to do to your family. And He wants to make it all new, all fresh, and all for His glory. Amen? Look at verse 3 and 4. I want you to notice the second thing. Not only the place, I want you to notice the pot. I want you to notice the pot. Verse 3, Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. I want you to notice the pot. It was wrought on the wheels. The wheels of life are turning for all of us. And as the wheels of life turn for all of us, I would encourage each and every one of you to be yielded to His purpose. And let Him wrap His loving arms around you and let Him put His hands upon you. And don't grumble and complain because all of a sudden something is hurtful and has to be removed.
Yeah, that's right.
Let God mold you and make you into what He wants you to be. Amen? I told a story a while back, and I'll tell it again. When I was in art class, my art teacher had some of us go down to Bascom, Ohio. And there was a clay factory back there in Bascom, and they had them dig some clay out of the ground and brought to Lakota High School. And it was red clay that they made the field tile out of. And he said, now what you have to do, you have to knead this clay and get all the stones and little pebbles and everything out of it. And so we did. And some of us had the job. We would mash this stuff out and pick out all the little stones and all the little pebbles. And the teacher explained, all of those have to come out. Because if you work a work on the wheel and you fire that, and there is a stone on the inside, that stone will heat up. And then when it gets superheated, that stone will explode. And everything in the furnace will be destroyed. So we needed the clay, and we needed the clay, and we needed the clay until we thought it was really good. And someone worked some work, and it was made some terracotta type vessels, and we fired them. Somebody didn't work all the stones out. And we were in the art class, and the kiln was on the other end of the art room, and you could hear the gas as it was being injected into the furnace. And we'd go back, and there's a little peephole you could look in there, and it would just the vessels would be glowing white hot. Hot. And the teacher was teaching, and all of a sudden we heard this crack. And one of the vessels blew up. He just shook his head. He went over immediately, looked through the peephole. Most of the vessels inside of there were destroyed. He turned the gas off. He brought us up one by one. He said, I want you to look in there and see what you see. It was a mess. You see, if we do not allow God to purge us and to get all the impurities out of our life, I'll tell you what will happen. When the fiery trials of life are poured upon you, all of a sudden, if we don't let God pull out those impurities, we're going to blow up.
That's right.
Under the stress and the heat of the trials. And not only will we destroy ourselves, but we will destroy everybody else that's close to us. It's better to let God have His way with us. It was wrought on the wheels, verse 3. Verse 3, it was in the hands of the potter. We need to let God have His hands upon us. Verse number 4, look what it says. And the vessel that he made of, what was it? Clay. You know what clay is? Just a hunk of dirt. That's all it is. Clay is nothing more than dirt. You know, we've got some really good clay around here, actually. There are some veins of real nice blue clay that you can actually use in firing works. Of very pure clay. And then there's the old Oak Harbor clay that you can't hardly grow anything in. Make cannonballs out of it, I think. That's about all it's good for. I've found you can't work that stuff wet. It'll never grow anything. But clay is nothing but dirt. And you know what God used to form man? In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, He formed man out of the dust of the ground. Dirt. He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know what I am? You know what you are? We are nothing more than a hunk of dirt. Matter of fact, when God pronounced judgment upon Adam and Eve, He says, from dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. We are nothing more than a hunk of dirt. You say, well, boy, preacher, I come here to get encouraged, and you called me a hunk of dirt. Well, I want you to understand, that's what we all are in God's eyes, really. But God wants to take that hunk of dirt, and He wants to put His hands on it, and He wants to make it something great. But in verse number 4, we find that it was marred in the hand of the potter. And Adam and Eve, they were in God's hands in the Garden of Eden, and then Satan came along and deceived Eve, and they ended up falling in sin, and mankind has been marred ever since. Right in the hands of the potter. It was marred. It had destructive impurities. You know, that's where we're at. We are marred and we have destructive impurities. But I want you to notice what it says there in verse number 4. It was marred in the what? Hands of the potter. That tells me this, listen Christian, we are all marred, but we are still in the hands of the potter, amen? God is not done with us yet. Woo! Praise the Lord, amen? God is not done with us yet. We are in the hands of the potter, amen? God's not going to end up giving up on us. Hallelujah! We might have a lot of impurities and we might have a lot of things that are destructive in our life, but if you'll let God work on your life, God will go ahead and change things and mold you and make you into what He wants you to be. Verse number 4, notice what it says. We as being marred, we're in the hands of the potter. And it says, so He made it. What's that next word? He made it again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, even though we are marred and we are in the hands of the potter, the master potter has the ability to take us, even though we are sinful, and mold us and make us after the image of God's dear Son. Amen.
Amen.
Was made anew. Galatians 6:15, it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Praise God for that. And so we looked at the place and we looked at the pot. Now I want you to notice the potter. You can't forget the potter. Because nothing else really works unless the potter is involved. Verse number 3, the last part of that verse, says, behold, He wrought a work on the wheels. God is working in our church. And God is working in your preacher's life. And if you will let Him, God is working in your life. Amen. And God wants to mold you and make you. Let's be pliable in His hands. He is the one that does the work. If we tried to do it ourselves, it's all vanity. Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches, except you abide in Me. John 15:5. He says, it's all vanity. He says, for without Me ye can do nothing. In Psalm 127, verse number 1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh in vain. You see, we need to understand today, the potter, he is the one that has to do the work. It's not about some self-help program that we think that we need. It's not about a series of meetings that we have to attend. It's about a Savior that God wants to do something in your life with. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 3 and 4. Not only is He the one that does the work, His hands were made filthy. His hands were made filthy as He worked upon the pot. And the Bible says, and He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary And as he was going to the cross, they spit on him, they beat him, they rejected him. They drove nails in his hands and his feet. They humiliated him. And he bore our sins upon the cross of Calvary. And as he was hanging between heaven and earth and the blood was flowing down, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His hands were marred, and his hands were filthy by our clay. Look at the last part of verse 4. "So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." As it seemed good for the potter to make it. His hands were in total control of the pot. And if we are going to have any peace in our life, and if we're going to have any real direction for our life, and if we are going to have any real accomplishment in our life, we need to get our hands off of our life and allow God to put His hands on your life. And we need to be totally yielded to Him to mold us and to make us after His image. You say, "Well, I don't like the way God's doing things." I'm telling you what, He'll do things a lot better than you can do them.
That's right.
Amen? And finally, let me just say this. Not only His hands are in total control of the pot, verse 4, but verse number 6. "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." There's a lesson for all of us. As God told Jeremiah, "Arise and get out of the potter's house, and I want you to see what he's doing." He is giving him an illustration about what God wanted to do in the life of Israel. But then it goes on in verse number 7, and it talks about a nation and a kingdom and that nation and that kingdom. That's for all of us. And God wants to work our life like He did in Israel's life. The question today is, are we going to be yielded to Him? This church needs to be yielded to His control. Every home here today, you want to save yourself from a lot of heartache? You want to save your home from blowing up when all of a sudden the trials of life get heated up in your life? You need to be yielded to the Master's hand and let Him reach in and take out those things that are going to destroy your life and your home and let Him pull them out. Yes. Amen? Every home needs that. Every mom and dad and young person today needs to have that happen. It's time for America to go back to the potter's house. Let him remake this nation into something great again. It's time for the lost to go to the potter's house and let him make you anew all over again. It's time for every believer to allow God to mold you and to make you into the image for His honor and glory. For it is only at the potter's house will we ever find lasting and eternal changes that can be made. The question today is this: will you allow yourself to be yielded to the Master Potter? Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and with every eye closed. In just a moment, the piano and the organ are going to play. "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Father, I pray, Lord, you bless this invitation. Help us, Lord, to be yielded and still in the Master's hands. Help us, Lord, not to fight as you work in our lives. But, Lord, help us to gladly give up that which is destructive in our lives. Certainly, Lord, you know what's best. Help us, I pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as the invitation begins, I want to ask a question this morning. How many here this morning would be willing to say, "Preacher, I'm willing, whatever God wants to do in my life, I am willing to let God have His way in my life this morning"? Before you raise your hand, I want you to think about what you're saying. I'm willing to let God have His way in my life this morning, whatever it may be. Can I see your hand this morning? I'm willing. I'm willing. God bless you. Is there someone here this morning that has never trusted Christ as your Savior? With an uplifted hand, that you could say, "I am willing to let Jesus Christ be my Savior today. I'm going to surrender to Him." God bless you. Anyone else? I'm willing to let Jesus Christ be my Savior. How many here this morning could say, "You know, preacher, there's some things in my life or in my home that's not right, and I'm willing to let God have His way in my life and in my home"? I'm willing. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. As the piano plays, would you come today, gather around the front, and say, "Lord, here I am. Mold me and make me after Your will." Would you come if the Lord has spoken to you? Let's gather together. Let's pray. Maybe it's time to take your husband or your wife by the hand, or your children by your hand, and say, "You know what, let's go ahead and pray together. Let's let God do something great in our lives." Would you come if the Lord has spoken to you?